Hello, my name is Karen Guglielmo, Executive Editor for SearchCIOMidMarket.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's expert podcast on data center outsourcing, contract do's and don'ts. I'm joined today by Mike McGarry, Managing Consultant with Allsbridge Incorporated, a global advisory company. Mike has extensive global experience in systems integration, IT solution development, and on- and offshore sourcing. His areas of expertise include service center design, build, and operations, PMO development and management, offshoring, and risk management. He has established and led software development centers and focused on internal and external software development and IT systems administration. Welcome, Mike.
Hello, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And as I mentioned earlier, we're here today to talk about data center outsourcing, contract do's and don'ts. And I'll spend the next 8-plus minutes asking Mike a number of questions about today's topic. So let's get started. First question today is, what are the most important aspects of a data center outsourcing contract that mid-market CIOs should really focus on?
Well, Karen, I would say that the most important things for CIOs to focus on for data center outsourcing are making sure that the right things are actually being purchased and measured based on the company's business needs. So if the critical thing for the business is that applications are available to the users during business hours, then buy that availability during business hours, allow for downtime and systems maintenance off hours, and measure it. And then to further that, put SLAs or service level agreements in place that are end-to-end as much as possible. So in the example that I mentioned for applications, availability would need to be defined as including everything from the server, the operating system, the network, the application, anything else that's needed to make that application available to the user. You don't need to measure every little piece individually because you don't care what was the reason necessarily that it wasn't available. You care that it wasn't available and measure that end result in terms of meeting that business need. Now, another is to be sure to put some responsibility on the provider to keep your company up to speed on new technology and innovation. Right? Make it a part of the contract that they have to do something quarterly around innovation so it doesn't fall through the cracks. There's a lot of contracts that have gone on and they talk about innovation and then nothing ever happens because there's no concrete deliverable or requirement on the provider to do anything. The other thing that we at Allsbridge have seen is that oftentimes companies don't pay enough attention to governance, organizational change management, and or the provider relationship itself. It's very important to get those things right and to monitor them over the course of the contract. I mean, even before the contract phase, you might see signs of trouble in terms of a provider's culture not lining up necessarily with theirs. So you need to keep in mind that at the time of winning the deal and getting the contract signed, that's the time the providers are on their absolute best behavior. If you see signs of trouble then, you know, expect it to get worse after the ink is dry. And then lastly, they shouldn't go it alone. Advisory services and outsourcing have extremely high returns on investment. They have templates and tools to cut time out of the process, and they also have information in their toolkits to know if you're getting a good deal or not, and that's important.
Okay, so how much uptime is really reasonable to expect in a data center outsourcing agreement?
Well, that all depends on how much downtime will cost the company. If you have servers in a clustered environment and SAN storage with the right configuration and realistic maintenance windows that fit your business need, you can have 99.995 availability or even a little better. The key is that you have to pay for the redundancy in the infrastructure to achieve that, and that costs money. So if the business demands it, then it's certainly achievable. But in a non-clustered environment, you know, something like a 99.5 is usually just fine, and as low as 99 or slightly lower for test and development environments. And that's another gotcha, is that sometimes people put too high of availability requirements on things that don't need it, and that uptime is just not required, and you're paying for it.
Okay, and what type of availability penalties would you recommend be included in these type of contracts?
That's a good question. The trick is not to let the provider average. If one server misses the availability metric or one application, then the service level's breached. If it's a mission-critical application and it'll cause real harm to your business, then earnbacks should not be on the table and the penalties should be high. if some downtime isn't really going to cause harm, then earnback should be on the table, and the penalty not quite so high, but still high. The reason for that is you want them to see the opportunity to be able to earn that back if it's not really caused you harm, because if you get too tough on the penalties at the outset, the providers will build that risk into the price, and you're going to be paying for it with higher prices all throughout the contract, and that's not really what you want. And the penalties are just there to make sure that the provider pays enough attention to it that they don't hit those penalties, because you don't want to charge them with penalties. You just want the uptime that you require.
And are there any pitfalls that you would say that mid-market CIO should avoid when setting up their data center outsourcing contract?
Oh, yes. Many. But one that I already mentioned is that averaging. So if you have 100 servers and 99 of them are up all the time, but one goes down and it happens to be the most critical one, you could suffer serious loss of productivity and or money or customer. And if the provider averages everything out, it looks okay, and the SLA wasn't missed. And that's what we at Allsbridge call seeing green but feeling red. And that tends to mean you're not measuring things properly. So really paying very close attention to how you measure the service levels in every case. And then also, you don't want to underestimate what it's going to take to change your retained organization for the new model in outsourcing. I mean, work needs to start on that very early in the process if you want to do it right. And as I mentioned earlier, governance is important. You know, how are you going to manage the relationship day to day, month to month, for the duration of the contract? That should all be well structured right up front. Trying to do that later can cause some problems. And then finally, when the contract is signed, the negotiations are not over, right? Providers tend to bring in the team right after you get done agreeing to everything in the contract, and they tend to interpret things slightly different than you thought that they were interpreted. So negotiations still go on in the transition phase, and it's important to be ready for that and have the people there to keep that under control.
Okay, and finally, are there any ways that a data center outsourcing contract really differ from just regular outsourcing contracts?
Well, I guess it would depend on what type of other outsourcing contract. The nice thing about data center outsourcing, and I guess it makes it different than many, is that it's been going on for quite some time. And there are some excellent metrics and examples of good contracts out there. There are a number of solid providers out there that do data center outsource work very, very well. So it's not like some business process outsourcing deals where a provider needs to learn your process. You know, running a data center is running a data center, and many of them do it very, very well. So there's a great deal of information also in terms of processes and metrics, such as IDLE, that's geared towards IT outsourcing. So there's lots of tools available to be able to do a deal the way the deal should be done.
Okay. On that note, that does conclude today's podcast. Thanks again to Mike McGarry for speaking with us today, and thank you all for listening. Have a great day.